It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Yeah, I'm playful. Scratch that, baby, I'm playful. Gotta say it's really been a while, but now I got back the smile. I'm so
playful. Time to take you home on a Thursday. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, and you are connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Any questions, comments, or suggestions, fire them our way at 46862 on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Big hour coming up. Shane Alberani from the Comets. He'll join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Of course, we've got to talk about the postponement of the game scheduled to be played at Wheeling tomorrow. Flooding in the Wheeling area has impacted West Banco Arena. And so they're not going to be able to play the game tomorrow night. They have rescheduled it for next Wednesday. So a midweek trip to Wheeling, West Virginia. And we'll talk to Shane about what's ahead for the Comets, how important these games are, where they stand currently in the standings, who they got to beat, what's got to happen, what do we need to know. So when we listen to these games, we know the impact each game has on the Comets' playoff hopes. Because one thing that it's actually... I think it's federal law. The Comets make the playoffs, period.
Yeah.
You can't go without the Comets in the playoffs.
It's a bylaw.
That's what it is. It's a bylaw that the Comets automatically make the playoffs. And they have, basic, almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. You got to look at just a handful of years under the Franchi's ownership that that this team hasn't made the playoffs. And right now, they're on the outside looking in, but they've got plenty of opportunities based on the remaining schedule. And that's what we're going to talk to Shane about.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, man, it is a great sports weekend. I am looking so forward to it. For me, it starts tonight because you've got Indiana State playing in the NIT Championship against Seton Hall. I'm like, finish the script.
Yeah.
You know, don't have a great movie with a horrible ending, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the perfect script is that you ride off into the sunset, you prove the ultimate validation to the NCAA committee that you deserved a spot in their prize tournament. And, you know, second best, if you don't win the NCAA... and you don't get in, the next best is to win the NIT. And I love the fact that they've approached this tournament with an energy and a drive, and it's not easy. You know, it extends the season a long time, and you're committing a lot of time that, you know, you could be spending on studying or off-season workouts or, you know, a lot of the guys you know from other teams, hey, they're already out having some fun, playing pickup games, whatever. And so it's a long commitment to play in this tournament. And most people by a month later won't remember who won the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be great to see Indiana State take that crown. And maybe it will keep Josh Schertz in Terre Haute.
Mm.
I don't think it will happen.
No.
I mean, there's a reason St. Louis hasn't hired a coach. Because they're waiting for their guy.
Right.
And their guy is Josh Schertz. And only Josh Schertz at this point.
Seems that way.
And so unless it's just one of those things like Dusty May, who up until the very last minute was going to go to Louisville,
mm-hmm.
and then just decided at the last minute that Michigan was going to be a better opportunity and bailed on Louisville, went to Michigan. Unless it's one of those things where he decides at the last minute after St. Louis sets up the press conference, puts up the chairs and the podium, and then finds out he's not coming. That's what happened with Louisville.
Pretty much. Hey, it was fun to hear you and Kent in the last hour kind of talk about the Colts and the Texans and how the Texans, you know, metaphorically pants the Colts in signing Stephon Diggs. Well, Adam Schefter is reporting that there's a little bit more of a wrinkle in this Diggs trade to the Texans.
Oh.
So as a part of the Buffalo-Houston trade, the Texans wiped out the final 3 years on Diggs' contract, giving him the ability to become a free agent after this season. The Texans also took the $3.5 million guaranteed to Diggs next season and moved up into this season, giving him a raise and assuring him $22.52 million in guaranteed money in 2024. If Diggs plays the ways he wants and Houston hopes, he will hit the free agent market next offseason with the ability to make it count.
Wow. So they actually want him in his free agent year because they feel like he'll have something to prove.
Yep. It says Houston now anticipates getting the best version of Stephon Diggs.
A one and done, and you actually set up everything to make it that.
A prove it year.
So you didn't want it to be the first of a 4 year term where you might not get the best of Stephon Diggs. So to assure that you're going to get his best foot forward, you're making it a 1 year deal. That way, you know, any kind of locker room issues or tantrums or whatever, laziness, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. that might have plagued him in Buffalo, you don't expect that because he's going to want that big cash as part of free agency. And to get it, he's got to be on his best behavior and have a good season. But see, those are the kind of things, those are the kind of gambles you can take when you've got the quarterback that's on the rookie deal. You've got money to play with. And so you can take on all this extra salary and load it into next year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's interesting.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to share that with you.
46862. Would that gamble have been worth it for the Colts?
Ooh.
Kent said, when we talked to Kent, he took the attitude, I don't think Kent would have wanted Stephon Diggs if he was available as an Indianapolis Colts fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking he can be a tremendous talent and an asset. And again, what you're asking him to do is be that threat on the opposite side so that you can't constantly double on Michael Pittman. And, Kent said there's a reason nobody wants him. Well, I think Houston believes that if you can get one great year out of him, then it's better than four miserable years where you're stuck with him.
Absolutely.
But if the Colts would have done that and said, we're going to go for it for 1 year, we're going to draft a wide receiver then that we can have in a year of development and maybe, you know, rotate guys, move guys around. See, I like when the Colts move Pittman into the slot and put someone else out wide. Like you'll see a lot of the teams. In fact, they do this in San Francisco. We've seen it. How many times have we seen Travis Kelce go out wide?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where you swing your tight end outside and you bring your wide receiver inside because then it throws off the matchups and the coverages. And I'd love to see the Colts do more of that. And they did show it a little bit last year, but not a ton because you've got to have just the right personnel to be able to do that. Because a wide receiver that can't really run or beat anybody vertically is not going to be a threat putting them on the outside. And so, you know, sometimes it comes down to personnel, but if you're running three wide receivers, and then all of a sudden your slot receivers become your outside guys, and your outside guys become the slots. Now you've changed how they're going to have coverage, and sometimes you can get some mismatches that way and get an advantage.
Yeah, I think this 1 year definitely would have been interesting if the Colts had done something like that.
Final four weekend, of course, for the women and the men. So tonight you've got the NIT Championship, Indiana State taking on Seton Hall, and then tomorrow night, it's the women's turn to take the stage. Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes will go against Gino Auriemma, Paige Beckers, and the UConn Huskies. Classic matchup.
Absolutely.
And South Carolina will beat somebody else in the other side of the bracket. but then you'll have the championship, which I think is going to be Iowa and South Carolina. The question, if it's not Purdue and UConn in the men's championship, but it is Caitlin Clark in Iowa versus South Carolina, which game has more viewers?
If it's not Purdue-UConn in the men's?
I think if it's Purdue-UConn versus Iowa-South Carolina, I think Purdue-UConn wins the night.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Zach Edey, because of UConn with the attempt to go back-to-back. I think, but I mean, UConn versus North Carolina State, is that going to bring as many eyeballs as Iowa versus South Carolina?
No.
Caitlin Clark, a chance to shoot herself into history?
Yeah, I think if it's Iowa-South Carolina on the women, it will beat the viewership of any men's matchup besides Purdue-UConn. Yeah.
Interesting. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. What do you think about the question I posed to Kent? Is Caitlin Clark the most popular basketball player in the world right now?
Maybe behind LeBron James.
Are we past LeBron?
I'm not, but that's just me personally.
You're an NBA guy.
Yeah. Yeah, LeBron actually talked about the women's game a little bit last night. He was kind of talking about the popularity, and he said he thinks this has to do a lot with the recognizable star power in the women's game. He gave a shout out to Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, the girl at USC, and he's definitely into it. And he credited the star power of the women's game now.
One question I was going to ask Kent that we didn't have time for. Was the transfer of Bronny James.
Yeah.
The fact he's in the portal. Andy Enfield, the USC coach, is going to SMU, mm-hmm. just changing initials a little bit. And with Andy Enfield leaving USC, and USC has their coach, by the way. I don't know if this influences Bronny James at all, but USC has Arkansas's Eric Musselman lined up to be the next head coach per Matt Norlander. From I believe from CBS Sports and the Peristyle, this reported by 24/7 Sports that USC is going to hire Arkansas's Eric Musselman as their next coach, which means then Arkansas becomes an open job. Is that a job or a university that would make a run at Josh Schertz?
Maybe pull him away from St. Louis.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, like you said, we were kind of talking about that during a break, and you said that Arkansas might be a little bit more glamorous.
Yeah, Arkansas clearly would be a better job than St. Louis.
I agree.
No question.
Yeah.
Playing in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what direction Arkansas is going to go or plans to go, because right now we know nothing official, but unofficially, it's being reported that Eric Musselman is heading to USC to become their coach.
There you go.
Brings a lot of energy, and I don't know if that changes Bronny, but the fact that Bronny, we said this yesterday, that Bronny is willing to leave Los Angeles, and we assume that in transfer he's not going to go to Pepperdine or Long Beach State or one of the that he's transferring somewhere out of the Los Angeles area. Does it mean anything as far as LeBron James's future? Does it indicate at all that maybe LeBron is saying, you go where you want to go and I'm going to be there? And maybe this is the curtain call for LeBron James in the NBA.
Maybe. I mean,
how many years does he want to continue? Because the whole point when he stayed, and because people were starting to think at about 38, 39, he's probably going to be calling it quits. He admitted that he was sticking it out with the hopes of playing NBA basketball with his son. And clearly at this point, it almost looks like his son might not ever get to the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, okay, are you going to wait it out 3 years, 4 years of Bronny in college to try to stick it out? I mean, I don't know if you've got that much left in the tank, even though he's in tremendous shape and he's still playing some great basketball. I just don't know how long he wants to prolong his career. He's a guy that certainly has the money to go into other interests. He's become a big-time producer out in Los Angeles. He's got the freedom to be able to go and do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, the guy runs a school. It's like, you know, he has other ventures that he can do.
Yeah, and so I guess the question is, with Bronny James transferring, does that mean maybe LeBron's indicated to his son that he's going to be a little more available to travel and to see games in different parts of the country? Because Bronny playing in L.A. meant when the Lakers were at home, his dad was right there in town to come and watch games. But if Bronny goes somewhere else, is dad going to want to follow? And will it be something that motivates LeBron to actually hang it up in the NBA. 46862. By the way, I found this interesting. I came across, you know, we've talked about Ken Palm and the analytics from Ken Pomeroy. There's another analytics service that's really kind of popped up in the last year or two. Evan Maya, which is short for a lot longer name, but evanmaya.com has tons of analytics on offensive efficiency numbers, defensive efficiency numbers, everything. He's actually got numbers that analytically rate each player in college basketball. Purdue has two of the top six players in the entire game. Number one, Zach Edey. Number six, Braden Smith.
Impressive.
Yeah, very much so. Also wanted to get this out real quick before we talk to Shane. Ian Eagle is going to be on the call this weekend. His first Final Four. It will not be Jim Nance, which means it is going to be different. Watching the Final Four and watching one shining moment. Ian Eagle working his first Final Four. Does that matter to you? Who calls the game? Is it important? Will it change it? Do you like Ian Eagle as a play-by-play guy? We've had a chance to hear him for a couple of weekends now. Ian Eagle will be calling his first Final Four for CBS this weekend. All right, we'll take a timeout because we got Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets. Plenty of things to talk about with Comet Hockey as they wind down to the end of their regular season, and we hope that's not the end of the season. Shane Alberani next here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Big week for the IHSAA announcing reclassifications. We're going to talk about that with Eric Dutkevich coming up in about 12 minutes from now. Right now, we've got Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets, joining us. Figured he doesn't have to work tomorrow night. He might as well come and join our show for a few minutes. Shane, how are you?
Yeah, I got time. the hockey gods kind of shined on us a little bit. The parking lot is flooded at Westvaco Arena in Wheeling, West Virginia. So we were getting ready to mount up and get on the bus. About a half an hour before that, we got word that the game was postponed.
Oh, so you were going to be heading to Wheeling today.
Yes, absolutely. We usually go a day early. We were about a half an hour from bus time and learned that the game was canceled. And it took us about an hour or so to figure out what we were going to be playing next. It's going to be next Wednesday.
Yep, and now I think that works out to an advantage for the Comets because that trip, a long trip, they don't have to make it now with a game on tap the very next night.
Oh, absolutely. This was a blessing for sure because I was dreading, you know, we got three games in three nights and coming back from Wheeling Saturday morning at, you know, say 4 or 5 a.m. and then turn around and play a home game against Indy. That was going to be rough, and then you got a 3 o'clock start Sunday in Kalamazoo. This was a tremendous blessing for the Comets. And now, you got only got two games this weekend. You got a short trip on Sunday. So you got an extra day to prepare for Indy, who played Wheeling last night in Indianapolis.
You don't want this season to end with the what if. So what's ahead for the Comets? Where are they at right now? What needs to happen between now and a week from Sunday?
Well, you know, having a day off unexpectedly, you know, it gave me a lot of time to work on scenarios, and it was pretty much impossible. The Comets have got six games left, and the teams, two teams they're chasing right now is Kalamazoo and Wheeling, and Wheeling only has four games left. So right there are your points, and then you still have a chance to catch Kalamazoo. They're even up with you games played, but they are 3 points up as well, and you're playing them one more time head-to-head. So really, the Comets, you know, they still hold their own destiny. They don't need any help. They win these games. You know, say you go 4-2 over the last six. You know, it's probably going to get you in. But they just got to win games, and that's really just the bottom line.
Big thing is Ryan Fante's been returned.
Yeah, Ryan Fante's back. You know, I was kind of curious to see how they were going to work the goaltending situation because you got three great options. Now that you don't have the 3-3, it opens it up a little bit. So now I don't know what the plan is for this weekend, but you could go Fancy Parks and maybe Brochu in Wheeling, but it could be Fancy Parks back-to-back there. But no idea, but it's good to have a third option.
Where is the roster right now? I know there's been a couple of youngsters added to the lineup. I'm not sure who's in the AHL. Bakersfield. Bakersfield made the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah, they're in the playoffs, and the only player that played games with the Comets in Bakersfield right now is Cam Wright, and he played the first four games of the regular season.
He's been there all year. Yeah.
So I don't expect to see him here for the playoff push.
So the Comets have a loaded roster. That probably means not spots to be signing anybody off Newfoundland's roster. What a situation that happened with at this time of year for all of a sudden that team basically to be ended.
Yeah, they were disbanded this week. And, yeah, it was with only a handful of games left, to lose a team like that, a team that's always a contender. But, you know, the financial situations up there apparently got to be a little bit too much and too much for the league to bear, and they had to disband the team. But, there really weren't that many players that are going to be available. Most of the players on that team were on two-way AHL contracts, and they're not eligible to go anywhere else in the ECHL. All they can do is go back to their AHL parent club. There was only going to be a handful of players anyway. At this point, if you're a player in that situation, especially if you're from Newfoundland, which they've got a few guys from Newfie, do you really want to go somewhere and maybe just play a handful of games, or you just want to just hang it up for the season?
Where were they at? Because, when you talk about the playoff races that come down to the finish, you'd think there might be teams playing them where that game could be important, or maybe they were in a position where the games were important. What was the status of the playoffs for that division?
They were just, 2 points back in the final playoff spot, and the only two teams they were playing was Fall Revere and Norfolk. They had 3-3 with each of those teams. Norfolk was already in, but Fall Revere, they were still not clinched yet. So right now, those games just going to disappear, and the North Division is going to go off point percentage to do playoff seeding.
That is absolutely crazy. All right, so it's a fun event coming up on Saturday night, the special orange jerseys. Shane, it brings me to the question, if there was a nickname on the back of a Shane Alberani jersey, what would your nickname be?
Actually, I've already got one. It says Shano on the back, which everyone calls me around the office.
I didn't know that. See, now we've learned something new because of the nicknames. Those jerseys are available for purchase also, right?
Yeah, the replicas are, they're up for sale now at comets.com. And then, of course, at the game, you can get the game used ones on Saturday night. And I expect these to go pretty high because these are pretty, first of all, they're just sweet jerseys. But then you throw the added bonus of it being nicknames on the back. That's pretty cool.
All right, so with the Comets coming up this weekend, you've got the Fuel on Saturday night, a game at Kalamazoo on Sunday. We know the implication the Comets need to win. What about this roster? What are the keys to them winning and winning out?
Well, it comes down to defense. I think the Comets have got a very good forward group. Goaltending is spectacular, so it doesn't matter who you throw back there. But it's just going to come back to the defense, being able to hold these teams off. This team has a trouble scoring at times. It seems like it comes in bunches and, just getting off to good starts, because this team is a different team when they play with the lead. So they just can't get behind. And they've played Indy very tough. They're 4-5-1 against Indy, but they've dominated Kalamazoo this year. It looks promising here for this weekend. If the Comets can win these two games, Wheeling only has one more game left this weekend, and they lose on Sunday to Indy, a team that they have struggled mightily against. It really comes down to Wednesday night in Wheeling, essentially a game seven for both teams.
Shane, I've seen some of the highlights, and when you talk about defense and the importance of it, some of the highlights that I've seen, the Comets have turned it over either coming out of their zone or in neutral ice, in center ice. Has that been a problem with this team when they have given up some goals?
Well, the biggest part as of late, the Comets penalty killers do a tremendous job. They have really been really good over the past, a dozen or so games. But it seems like they kill off the penalty and then they remain mentally on the penalty kill for another minute. So it's almost like you kill the penalty, they don't realize they got that fifth guy back on the ice, and they're still playing shorthanded. And that's when they're giving up a lot of goals, literally within a minute or two after killing a penalty. So that really, that's the glaring thing that has been on my mind over the last few weeks.
Shane, look forward to your day off tomorrow. If you need help with Friday night plans, let me know, because I'm not used to having them off either.
But, yeah, I have no idea what to do with myself. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've had a Friday night off.
Yeah, I felt that way about a week or two ago when I had my first Friday night. I'm like, here I am. I got this Friday night. I haven't had one for so long, and I'm bored. I got nothing to do.
I don't know what people do on Friday nights. I'll take suggestions.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you need suggestions, you've got a wife. You're going to have to ask her.
I know her answer already. We're staying home.
We're staying home. Okay. Well, enjoy being at home. By the way, good basketball if you want to tune in and watch some Final Four action on the women's side.
Oh, yeah. That does free up some time to watch some hoops. So.
Yeah, I know you don't have a whole lot of time to check out basketball. Shane, always appreciate you. Have a great time. We'll talk to you next time, Shane-O.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brett.
Yep, that is Shane Alberani joining us. So, Adam. Lundo? I don't know. What would your nickname be?
I'd probably just go with Lundy.
I think what I would be is Rumpster.
Yeah. Rumpy. Rumpster.
A lot of people have called me Rumpster and I don't know why, but if I had a nickname, because it's all nicknames on the back of the jersey instead of like real names, they use nicknames.
People have just called me Lundy as my nickname. So, I mean, but that's my last name. So I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah, we need a nickname for Adam Lundy. Please send it to us on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862.
Oh, no.
We got to get a nickname for Adam Lundy.
The jersey.
I know what the next guest would have on the back of his jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Our next guest would have Doot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is much easier to spell. You know that if he ever had his name on his jersey, they would misspell it like half the time.
It would look like a hockey jersey, though. Dude, it's definitely
Dude
a hockey
Kevich.
Name. Yeah.
Dukevich on the left wing. We've got Eric Dukevich from Parkview Sports Medicine who's going to join us on the other side of the break. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Maria Marcusano, head women's basketball coach at Purdue Fort Wayne, and you're listening to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6, and it is that time. Every week we get a chance to visit with Parkview Sports Medicine's Eric Dukevich, or should I say, Caleb and Kenny's Eric Dukevich. Dute, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, yes. Had a good opportunity to fill in this morning, and it was a good time. A great week to do it, too, I have to say. I mean, you know, the stars aligned this week, for sure.
Well, of course, a Purdue fan with Purdue in the Final Four, and Doot ends up being the fill-in guy. It worked out perfectly. What did you learn, Doot? I'll tell you this. This show is not as easy as people think it is. They think they just come in, talk sports. That's easy. I'm a sports fan. That's not that easy. It's a little easier, I think, in the mornings because you do have two of you. But what did you learn coming in and doing the show this morning?
Well, I've done it a couple of times before, but yeah, I mean, I think it is finding topics to talk about, and then, you know, you got to do some digging, you got to do some research, you got to know what you're talking about. And
you do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, that's the thing, is they don't realize it's, I've always said that if I'm going to open the mic and talk about IU, I need to be the smartest guy in the room. When it comes to Indiana basketball, if I'm going to talk about Purdue, I got to be the smartest guy in the room. And maybe I'm not always, but at least when I open the mic, I think I am. That's what's important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part. I mean, we talked about the Colts today. We talked about Purdue in the Final Four. We talked about, you know, college football and IU. And so, you know, it really transcends the different sports that we have. And that's what makes it fun, too, is that, you know, bouncing ideas and bouncing topics off of each other and, you know, the ability to have that conversation that you would have at a bar or at home with your family or, you know, friends that you see, just the opportunity to talk sports, but then, you know, learn a little bit along the way, you know, and I think that's an important part of it, too, and it's a great show to start your day with. You know, it's going to work, so turn into Caleb and Kenny in the morning, and then, of course, when you come home, turn into the Sports Rush, and just a local sports, you know, talking about that, having those shows available, I think is important, because there's so much going on in the Summit City, in the state of Indiana, and really the region that that you know you really get it all covered, and that makes it fun.
Well, that's now that now the dude is taking us down the road to Plugville, I can also say that you know, these local shows are on the air thanks to the great support of all of our sponsors. And if you'd like to become a sponsor of either show, be sure you contact me. All right, we've gotten all the plugs out of the way, dude. We got to talk.
There you go.
We got to talk sports. We got to talk about the IHSAA, because we have reclassifications across IHSAA sports over the next couple of years. It's going to start this fall, and I think that the Carroll Chargers have to be pretty excited to know that they're not going to be thrown into a sectional with a bunch of Michiana schools. They now have four in 6A due to Snyder taking the bump up.
Yeah, I mean that you know, right off the bat, I mean, just, you know, Snyder moving up to 6A really helps this area have a really local sectional in Class 6A, presumably going to be Snyder, Homestead, Carroll, and Northrop. They'll announce all the sectional assignments later. But, you know, those are the four schools, the four 6A schools now in our area that will be together. Snyder, the state champion, they had some great battles with Carroll every year, Homestead as well, and Northrop. Unfortunately for them, it's like you think, okay, Snyder's going to move up to 6A. Maybe they move down to 5A. But Warsaw takes that spot down right to 5A. And so Northrop remains at 6A. But all four Fort Wayne schools in that sectional, it saves, you know, having to play those pins off the bat or, you know, those type of those Michiana schools. Mishawaka also moved down to 4A. So, you know, that changes some of the other complexions later in the tournament. But, yeah, I think that's the headliner from coming out of these new classifications, particularly in football, that we have that sectional of Snyder, Homestead, Carroll, and Northrop that is going to bring some exciting matchups for the next couple of years.
Well, and you mentioned one of the factors also was that Warsaw drops down to 5A, and they were in that 6A Carroll sectional, which had teams like Penn also in there. But now you've got Warsaw in 5A, where some of the teams they could be matching up with include Goshen, Concord, Northside, Kokomo, maybe Anderson. You got to figure out how the IHSA is actually going to draw the lines. But I think Warsaw dropping into this 5A, they could be the favorite each and every year in that group.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years we've seen that Warsaw and the Bart ball that they play, you know, with Bart Curtis, their head coach, kind of that wing tee offense is something different than we see traditionally a lot in the area. But they come in, you know, they've only won one sectional ever, and that was 2019 when they beat Carroll to do it. But they are a really solid team year in and year out. And, you know, now they're going to move down to 5A. You know, we'll see how things get drawn. Do they go with more like the Concord, you know, side of things and Goshen, or, you know, how does Northside fit in there? I think Kokomo and Anderson are kind of those other five schools that kind of are waiting. So it geographically, it's not going to make sense for somebody. But I think, you know, Warsaw's really solid, and then Northside, just by being in that sectional with Kokomo and Anderson, if that holds up, not having Dwanger, not having Snyder, you know, you got to feel pretty good if you're Northside as well, because all of a sudden that sectional becomes a little bit more to, you know, open for you to kind of take, and it's been a while since Northside's been able to win a sectional.
A lot of the movement into 3A, where now you've got Jay County as the largest 3A school. You've got Angola taking the drop down into 3A. Lures going up to 3A. And, of course, you've still got Concordia, Heritage, and Woodland sitting there in 3A. But it does make 3A a different-looking classification this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've kind of gotten used to, especially in 3A, whether it's football or basketball even into volleyball a little bit, that kind of that cross-conference sectional when you have like Woodland and Concordia and Garrett, and now you're going to have a little bit more centralized, so to speak, to Fort Wayne with probably Lures, Concordia, Heritage, and Woodland kind of sharing that sectional perhaps. So, you know, East Side, where those East Side Lures matchups that we've seen the last couple of years. We're going to get away from that a little bit, so that probably bodes well for East Side. But we're going to see more in Allen County matchups, and you know, Lures coming off the state championship, a really solid team. And those other teams, Heritage, an up and coming team that not too far from each other. So those are new kind of rivalries and new things to look at, because I know for a school like Heritage, it was like, okay, you know, we play Adams Central and conference, and how does that get us ready for the postseason and all that. Now it's a different challenge and a different look, and I suspect those teams will kind of all fit in together. But that's kind of the nature of the beast too, is that it gives you new sectionals to be drawn and new intriguing matchups to see come tournament time.
Of course, when you talk about 2A, I think you mentioned Eastside and how they might be relieved to see Bishop Lures bump up to 3A, but taking their spot, you've got Adams Central. I don't know where the sectional line is going to be drawn, but that could be very interesting, because now that 2A has Adams Central. You've got Bluffton. Of course, they've been in the sectional with Bishop Lures. And then, of course, Eastside. Do you make it a 2A that's further to the north, or do those teams end up all in the same sectional? That'll be an interesting subject once they release the actual sectional pairings.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, Adams Central moving up with the success factor. Of course, Indianapolis Lutheran also moving up class 2A. So it's not like, you know, we talk about getting down to state and all of that, and Indianapolis Lutheran, the three-time state champions, they've also moved up. But I think, it'll be interesting to see how it is drawn, because you have Adams Central and Bluffton, the more southern schools, together. Where does that leave Eastside? I also think you have to take into account there those other Northfield, Wabash, and some of those smaller 2A schools. It'll be interesting to see how it draws, because I think it's very hard, you know, does somebody have to come all the way across the other side of Fort Wayne to come in? I think when you get to the smaller schools, that's what makes it hard. But, yeah, Adams Central, we could, you know, they're going to play Bluffton in the conference in the ACAC. Then we could see some dandy of games in Class 2A for the sectional with those two teams. And that's what's exciting, too, is it presents new challenges to a team like Adams Central that has had years of success. And with the new success factor that's not so new anymore, it gives an opportunity to see some different things, and really for Bluffton, you know, an opportunity to kind of see where they are too, there as an up and coming team.
All right, we got to turn to basketball, and I think one of the big storylines are the teams that are dropping into 3A out of 4A, with New Haven, DeKalb, and East Noble all making the drop. But the big one to me is Columbia City, because we know about girls basketball, and the Columbia City has always had kind of that kryptonite, that wall that has stopped their tournament runs, because they've always run into Homestead. It's not going to be the case anymore. So things will definitely look different in 4A and 3A basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Columbia City boys and girls basketball, really good years. Columbia City girls have tended to be there a lot longer than the boys, but notably that both teams now are going to be able to avoid Homestead. Same for New Haven in that southern 4A sectional, that with those two teams now kind of moving to the 3A. And then East Noble as well. I mean, especially for teams, they kind of continue to find their footing. Taking them out of that sectional with Carroll, Snyder, Northrop, Northside, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it all gets drawn up. I assume that DeKalb throw them in there in this 3A bracket. Kind of have your own sectional that's almost like an NE8 sectional on both the boys and girls side. But, you know, I think that is a little bit more helpful to those teams, where they don't have to play Homestead all the time. That's always a big thing. But, you know, I think that will make it good. And you look at Columbia City girls, they had a great season. It ended with the Homestead loss at the sectional championship. But, you know, they still have Addie Baxter coming back next year. They'll still have a pretty decent team. Can they get over the hump and get to a sectional championship with a little bit different bracket to deal with? But don't sleep on some of these other teams. I think East Noble's in for a good run here in the next couple of years, and DeKalb's always one of those teams that can play you tough as well.
Snyder, Carroll, Northside, all still in 4A. But, you know, joining that group at 3A is Blackhawk. They've made the leap. Hey, they only got one more step to go. They might as well complete it and get to 4A in a couple of years. But how about Blackhawk? They're all the way up to 3A. And so now you have to look at teams like, what, Concordia, Dwenger? What are the teams that that now Blackhawk you think might get paired up with?
Yeah, I think so. With just, again, that more of Fort Wayne sectional in Class 3A, it's probably going to be like a Dwenger, at Concordia, Woodland in there. And what we've seen from that sectional is that, you know, Concordia won it last year, Dwenger won it a couple years ago. It's always kind of that toss-up sectional. Now you throw a Blackhawk Christian team in there that has really, you know, won a couple state championships, I think, you know, three in the last 5 years, and at 1A and 2A, now they make the jump up to 3A. I think that they got to be one of those teams that you go, okay, I mean, they really could do some damage in 3A, and really after that sectional, you know, the regional kind of comes wide open as well, and then, you know, get into, I mean, this is a team that can make it out of regional. You're just looking at paper and some of the matchups that we've seen in the last couple of years involving that sectional, with, you know, that's Concordia, Woodland, and Dwenger. But yeah, that should be a fun one to see in Fort Wayne, Allen County, sectional that will bear out over the next couple of years.
Well, and Woodland is going to be down in 2A, so they won't be part of that 3A group.
Oh, yeah, they're moving down. That's true.
Hey, Duke, obviously, got to ask you quickly, as a Purdue fan, how do you feel about this weekend?
You know, I think I feel really good. I think, obviously, having the 11th seed in North Carolina State, it's one of those things. But also, obviously, they've been playing their best basketball all season long to get there, too. You can't overlook that team. Jay Burns Jr., great. Sam King said on Caleb and Kenny this morning, the comparison around Purdue is a Travion Williams. So that's going to be an intriguing matchup. I think there's a certain element of playing with house money now that you've gotten to the Final Four for the first time in 44 years. But you have to also remember, it's still the business trip with two games potentially to play in the national semifinal and the national championship if you get there. So you've gotten this far, might as well keep it going, and that'd be great to see Purdue win a national championship on Monday night. But one game at a time, and that's how they've been able to play this tournament. And on the other side, I think UConn is just, you know, it's been crazy with the way they've been doing it. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's UConn and Purdue on Monday night. And hopefully the Boilers pull it out.
Now that we're winding down to the end of the high school school year and we're into the spring sports, I would imagine around the office now, everybody's scheduling their tea times, right? Nothing happening at Parkview Sports Medicine right now.
There's always something happening. But it's a great time of year for us because it's kind of that switch of the transit. You know, we got the PSM Baseball Classic coming up in May, and we're getting ready for some of that. We're starting to talk about the 7-on-7 tournament that we'll have this summer as well. More information on that to come. But, you know, just a really exciting time with all the different things. We have the PSM Basketball Academy starting up next week, a great 6-week program that can help you get better in your game, with our great staff and Tyler Palmer and Jamal Howell from Gym Rats Basketball as well. So a new venture that we're trying. For more information on that and to learn about signing up and the details on that, you can go to ParkviewSportsMedicine.com, but also search our Instagram and our Twitter page, X, Facebook, at PSM1Team. We've got some details there that can help you sign up and learn all about that. But, yeah, some new things that we've got coming out this spring, and we're looking forward to it as we move on and get out of the winter season into the spring and exciting times at PSM.
Good rule of thumb is if you're not playing it, you should be training for it. And that's what you get at Parkview Sports Medicine. Dude, always appreciate you. Great job this morning, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, appreciate it, Brett. We'll see you down the road.
Eric Dutkevich joining us here on the Sports Rush, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Coming up tonight, not much on the radio. Going to hear the regular Fox programming tonight, but Indiana State takes on Seton Hall, championship game of the NIT from Hinkle Fieldhouse coming up tonight. I'll be locked into that. It kind of starts my sports weekend because tomorrow night it's women's Final Four from Cleveland. I have no comments about Cleveland, by the way. I'm refraining.
Yeah, got to be careful.
Got to be careful about what you say with Cleveland. Don't want the Cleveland Visitors Bureau throwing some kind of legal action at me. But the women's Final Four from Cleveland. And then on Saturday, of course, it is the men's Final Four. Tomorrow night, it's the opening of the Tin Cap season on the road at Great Lakes. We've got coverage starting at 5:45, so we'll step out a bit early to turn it over to the Tin Caps broadcast crew, led up by John Nolan, John and Jack, the J&J squad. They'll be bringing you the action from Midland, Michigan. Tomorrow night, 6:05, the first pitch. Of course, Tin Caps home opener comes up next Tuesday, and the Sports Rush will be there at Parkview Field, broadcasting live from 4 to 6 next Tuesday night. Big thanks to our guests that appeared on the show, Kent Sterling, Shane Alberani, and Eric Dukevich. We'll be back tomorrow to put a wrap on the work week. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.